This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Armor of God telecast. We're truly delighted to have you watching today. We thank you for inviting us into your home. We're going to be able to spend approximately the next 30 minutes or so discussing the Bible. And today's topic is fulfilling the law. Now, when I mention the word law, some of us automatically think, oh no, there's another boring topic about the subject of the law. Today I want to challenge you, though, to take another look at it. And I want you to consider whether or not you as an individual are fulfilling the law. Now let me just tell you this. Whether you are agnostic, an atheist, or a believer, every single human being, at least in North America, and let's throw in South America as well, let's throw in Europe, every one of us is a beneficiary of the covenant beliefs, the commandments that God gave to Israel in this book. And it's listed in two places. If you're not familiar with it, let me tell you where it's listed. It's in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, as well as other places in the scripture where it unfolds and the commandments are related to us. But because society as a whole tends to benefit from this, by that I mean they practice it to some degree, because you didn't have to wake up this morning and be worried about somebody killing you, somebody breaking into your home. You didn't have to worry about adultery, most likely, at least I hope you didn't today. You can go into your community and people generally believe that, let's tell the truth. And on and on and on it goes. Now, we're human beings. We struggle with this flesh. It's a war in our members. But I want to tell you something. You have a responsibility. If you want to please God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, if you want to obey the Scriptures, we've got to come back and revisit what those commandments are and how they apply to your life. Now, you say, well, I know the Ten Commandments. I hope you do. On my drive up here to Central Ohio, here just recently, I was really pleased to look out on the right-hand side of the road, and here were two very large signs. And I mean, somebody had gone to a lot of trouble to print those signs, and they were very readable. And as I was driving along, I just glanced over, and sure enough, they were signs listing the Ten Commandments, and I applaud that. As I read through them, however, a smile crossed my face because two of the commandments were incorrect. Two of the commandments were listed as most of us believe they are, and yet if you check the scripture, they're not that way at all. All right, let's talk about the Ten Commandments for just a moment, because the Ten Commandments are the means by which we express our love to God and our fellow man. Do you recall back in the covenant agreement that God made with Israel, their reaction? This is after the giving of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Oh, they were excited. It's somewhat like a person who comes into contact with the truth. Scripturally, it says, anon, with joy, they receive it. Oh, they were so excited. Well, things sort of went haywire in a hurry. God gave the Ten Commandments, but I want you to notice their response here out of Exodus chapter 24. And oh, how I wish there were such a heart in man that he would be responding this way today. Are you responding to the laws of God in the way that you ought to? Certainly you ought to be fulfilling the law. I will once again interrupt myself with this thought and tell you, I know you cannot keep the law perfectly. The Pharisees were pretty good at that. They had it every little jot and tittle, all the T's crossed and so forth and so on. They had it down to an art. Christ then came and showed them a better way. He showed them there was another application of it. But you know, honestly, some of us today in our society, in your community, in your marriage, we don't even get the letter of the law down. So let's at least begin with that. I want you to notice here in Exodus chapter 24, the response to the children of Israel, of the children of Israel, to God's commandments, to this covenant agreement. In verse 3 of chapter 24, it said, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and here the people answered, all with one voice. And they said, all that the Lord desires, all that the Lord wants us to do, all that he has said, we will do it. And boy, it goes on to tell it again in verse 7. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And yet, in our society today, here in North America, we don't really even print the commandments correctly. And as well, we are sliding away into a morass of corruption as individuals stray from, if you will, the letter of the law, much less the spirit of the law of the commandments. Now, before we proceed, I must take a few moments to talk to you about our offers today and invite you to request them. We have a tape that I would like for you to write for. It's entitled The Trail of Sin. And it was a sermon that I have given recently. I invite you to consider it. And there will be some things on there that you've never heard before. I'm telling you, you have never heard them before. But I challenge you to prove it out of the Bible itself. Let the Bible speak to you. Don't just give in to things that you have heard over the years. Open up this book, the Bible, the Holy Word of God, and let it speak to you personally. So the tape offer is The Trail of Sin, and the booklet we'd like you to request is Was Moses the Lawgiver? You can request these two items by calling our absolutely toll-free number, 1-888-578-8791. As well as be sure to contact, if you're a computer person, our website. We have a very, very good website. It's www.cgi.org. And as well, you can click on the little link there and you can watch the Armor of God telecast on the website. So if you have to be away today, don't get the whole program, click on the website and you'll be able to watch it there. So please utilize the toll-free number as well as the website and request these two items, the booklet, Trail of Sin, as well as the booklet, Was Moses the Lawgiver? Now let's come back and revisit the subject of the Ten Commandments. And okay, I'm going to test you just a little bit. What are the Ten Commandments? Just what are they? Well, you know, back in our church days, we probably had them all memorized. And as adults, well, oh yeah, I know the Ten Commandments. Oh, do you? I hope you do. Well, if you know them so well, how come that sign was inaccurate? I'll tell you which commandments were inaccurate, just to sort of whet your appetite a little. The sixth and the ninth commandments were printed improperly because they were listed, thou shalt not kill. That is not what Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5 say. Did you know that? And there's a reason for that. It also, the sign said, thou shalt not lie. That is not what the commandment says. Oh, hey, we do not have permission to be untruthful. I'm not saying that. I don't mean to even apply that. But I think there's a very good reason why God, in his logic, his understanding of human beings, did not just say, thou shalt not lie. Because if he had said that, I honestly don't have a chance because it's just so easy to not tell the truth. Like, I was over at the Watson's home the other day, and they were allowing me to be their guest, and we were talking about different things, and we talked about a book. They asked me if I had read a book, and the title seemed to be ring true with me, and I thought, yeah, I have read that, but you know, the truth is I think back about it, I haven't. So if the commandment said, thou shalt not lie, if I may put it in very, you know, verbal terms, I'm in trouble. I'm out. I had just violated that commandment, the ninth commandment of God. But you know what? The commandment doesn't say that, does it? The commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, do you know what that means? What is the biblical example of that? You see, how are we going to keep the commandments if we don't know what they really are? I suggest you to go back to the Bible. Go back to the Old Testament and then accompany that with the New Testament. And guess what you will find? You will find example after example of literally each of the commandments and what they mean. Not what we think, but what they are by God's definition. There are 10 commandments. Now, it's very important. Very important. It's critical. It's necessary that we keep them. Now, I realize that there is a royal law, and I subscribe to the royal law. The royal law is very simple. That I'm supposed to love God first, and then I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Well, those two laws represent the manifestation of the Ten Commandments. We all have studied it, at least I hope you have, and you know that the first four commandments are really directed toward loving God. And as men are inclined to do, they break it up and they say, well, the back six refer to loving your neighbor. I won't argue with that. I'll just tell you this, that there are two sets of laws. There's the royal law, loving God, loving your neighbor. Well, how do we do loving God? Well, do you have any idols in your home? Do you worship the one true God? Do you ever blaspheme God? Because those are the first three commandments. The first commandment is a commandment against apostasy. The second commandment is a commandment against idolatry. The third commandment is a commandment against blaspheming God's name. The fourth commandment is instruction on which day of the week we are to worship. If you keep the commandments, I beg of you, please explain to me why you keep Sunday when Saturday is the Sabbath. Now, don't take offense to that, but I've studied this book. I challenge you to study it. You will find that the fourth commandment is, in fact, directed at the Sabbath. We give programs on that. So again, do we know how the commandments unfold in Scripture? Speaking of the fourth commandment, just ever so briefly again, which day did Jesus Christ in the New Testament keep? Well, he kept the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day as his custom was. And yet in our society, around the world today, very few people go into church on Saturday. Most people, either number one, don't go to church, which latest statistics, if they're accurate, claim that fewer than or approximately 25% of people in North America go to church. 75% aren't going to church. 75% are staying home. Of that number, an interesting breakdown, approximately 60% of those who attend church, that 25 percentile, 60% of those who actually attend church are women. I thought that was pretty interesting, especially when I see the example of devotion in the New Testament that women had toward Jesus Christ. So, I appeal to women. All the women keep going to church. But listen, those of us who are men, hey, let's get after it. Let's get serious about obeying God. That's inexcusable. Why is it that men aren't going to church in equal numbers as ladies? Well, maybe that's a call to those of us in the ministry to reach out to men in a way we haven't before. I think a good place to begin is to challenge all the men and women to literally get serious about keeping the commandments of God. God wants us to do that. It's a covenant agreement. God said, I'm going to do this for you. This is what I want you to do for me. Very uncomplicated. Wouldn't you love to have that conversation with God today? I wonder if God came down and sat in front of you today and said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to bring you into the promised land. You will have eternal life, but here's what I want you to do. Remember the question that was asked of Christ by the lawyer? He asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question. What shall I do? What shall you do to inherit eternal life? Christ's answer was so succinct. There's not a lot of gray area in it. I mean, people might like to make it gray, but listen, there's not a lot of gray area in it. He said, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And today in our society, people have a little fun. They say, well, they aren't the suggestions, 10 suggestions. They're not the 10 suggestions. They are the laws of God. They are the expressed will of God about how we are to show love toward Him as well as love toward our neighbor. So back to the 10 commandments. Let's just go through them again briefly. First one is against apostasy. Do you worship the one true God? I hope you do. I hope you know what He looks like, how He sounds, what His will is, how He expresses Himself, that you and I are created in His image. How about idolatry? Boy, there's a tough one. Lots of people have idols, things they put in the place of God. You can see little artifacts, little symbols, all sorts of things that people worship. They kneel down to certain things, and I think, wow, why are they doing that? What we ought to be doing is kneeling down to God in prayer, because God is not attached to any things, any symbols. He's attached to obedience and compliance, a yielding and submissive spirit. How about number three? Let's not blaspheme God's name. Let's not take His name in vain. And the New Testament talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we get to that point? Well, I'll tell you how you get to that point. You disregard all of the commandments. You get to where you don't care. You get to where you don't believe. You get to where the Ten Commandments don't guide you any longer. And yet, ironically, we want everybody to keep the Ten Commandments. Maybe you choose not to, and there's this spin today by people who claim to be intellectuals, and they claim that religion is not for intellectual people. Well, I guess Moses must have been a dummy. I guess Jesus was an idiot then, if that's true, wasn't he? No, I propose this, that religion is for those who are not of strong intellect as well as the most intellectual of all. And I don't care whether you're a TV moderator or whatever you are, but you know, I read some of the writings of Einstein, some of the other great philosophers of life, not all of them, but some of them who are brilliant, understand that religion is in fact for those people who can understand the will of God. So those people who take pot shots at those of us who believe in Christ and in the Word of God, you mean to tell me that you don't want people in your neighborhood not raping your wife? That it's a free-for-all? Let's just take everything from your home? Is that what you want? No, it really isn't. Interesting, people who claim to be so smart are in some ways stupid. I don't mean to be derogatory about that, but I've had about enough of people attacking Christian believers. And we Christian believers need to recognize we don't have to stand for that. We just have to stand for Christ. Now, by the way, last time I checked, I think he was pretty smart. I think he was pretty intelligent. I think he's the creator of the universe. I'd like to see some of these late time shows, hosts, I guess they're called. I'd love to see them create a fly. How about create a roach? Let's just see if they can do that. These smart, all-knowing, intellectual people who know more than the Word of God. Garbage! Right here is about all you need to know. And I just need to know that Jesus Christ is alive and He's the Son of God. He is at the right hand of God Almighty. And in His absence, I've got this book to guide and direct me. And what this is a manifestation of God's will for mankind. It's how we're supposed to love God, and it's how we're supposed to love each other. It's a book of incredible genius. So if you're going to enter into life, my friend, you must keep the commandments. Oh, you cannot get there by works. I know that. This program is not about works and faith. It's about the grace of God that covers my mistakes. And grace is a manifestation of those the deep well I have to draw upon, because even though I do my very best to keep God's laws, I do fail. And when I do, I know I have enough wisdom to draw upon God's mercy and to pray to Him, to beseech Him to allow Jesus Christ to intercede for me and to accept His payment of my transgressions, that He paid the penalty for my sins. No, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, we are expected to keep the commandments. I'll tell you what, you want to get rid of crime? I used to say this, I've stopped saying it. I used to say, you know, we can eliminate all adultery. All we have to do is have one of the sexes just never be unfaithful, just never commit adultery. Have all the men never commit adultery, and guess what? That'll eliminate that problem. But now we've got another problem. Men are in love with men. So I guess I can't say that anymore. And women, by the way, are in love with women in a sexual way because they want to have, pardon the vulgarity of it, but this is what they put in writing, they want to have genital expression. Well, I'll tell you where that's reserved for. It's reserved for marriage. Why don't we, you know, intellectual people want to claim that's the reason we want it? Well, why don't you open up this book? Find out what's in the Word of God. And the Word of God says it's supposed to be between men and women in the covenant agreement of marriage. Well, that's the seventh commandment, by the way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This morning I heard just a little announcement disturbing to me. I took a survey of literally, I guess it was 3,000 women, and they said, well, these were married women, do you think it's okay to have an affair when you're married? And the answer was 40% of those women surveyed said, oh, no big deal. You know, if I want to be unfaithful to my husband while we're married, oh, no big deal. Oh, really? I guess we could reverse the table. So if it's okay for you, then it's okay for your husband. What do most women do when they learn that their husbands are unfaithful to them? Well, they divorce them. It works both ways. Much less disease, unexpected pregnancies, tragedy, on and on and on it goes, social ills, emotional disturbance. Oh, but it's okay. No. Let's not yield to that watering down of the commandments, because, you know, really that's what people want to do. They want to water down the commandments. The commandments are airtight. They're measurable. Now, I will confess that the 10th commandment, which is on coveting and lusting, is a little bit difficult to define because you can't measure it. Lusting is something that takes place here. But you know, the Scripture says that when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's the way it works, whether you are a believer or not. You know, it really does. So we are asked of God to keep the commandments. Now, once again, I've given you the first four. So the fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. Boy, if we'd all just listen to that, and if our young people would do that. And the sixth commandment says, the sign was wrong that I told you about. The sign said, thou shalt not kill. That's not what the commandment says. You may find this alarming, but there are some circumstances in the Scripture where killing was okay. Study it. Prove it for yourself. Now, what's not permitted is what we would call today premeditated homicide. We do not want to be involved in that. We don't subscribe to that at all. But, you know, accidents happen. People are accidentally killed. The Scripture talks about that. You know, the Scripture talks about a provision for that. It was called the cities of refuge, so that when there was an accidental homicide, that an individual could go and not be killed himself out of revenge. So the Scripture covers all the bases for it. Now, the seventh commandment we've been mentioned is the one against adultery, that we're not to commit adultery. And just look around our society today. Why in this world are we not going to contend for the faith that was once delivered? I can go back to the law, to the Torah. Some people say, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, I'll tell you something. That Old Testament allowed me to wake up this morning and feel safe. It allowed me to sleep last night without somebody breaking into my home. And I'm assuming that my wife was safe. I talked to her this morning. You know, she wasn't attacked in some way. Now, we're all beneficiaries of a general acceptance of the Ten Commandments because they go back to the very, very beginning, back to Adam and Eve, and are carried out and replete through the scriptural examples that we have. So I just want to ask you, let's go on now, how about stealing? Well, how are we doing about stealing? Well, I hope you're not stealing. I lock my cars wherever I go anymore, unfortunately. Wish it weren't so. Everybody would stop stealing. I wouldn't have to do that. Then we have the ninth commandment, which is also wrong on the sign. It said, thou shalt not lie. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Does that strike a chord with you? Bearing false witness is a legal term. What's the one example of that in Scripture in what's called the primary history of Israel? There is an example of it. Do you know what it is? It's very legalistic. God's reaction to those who bear false witness and maliciously connive against the innocent victims was this: death. Death. Then the tenth commandment, of course, is thou shalt not covet. We're not supposed to lust, and for all the reasons that it leads to the violation of the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth, and the ninth commandments. So there's a system and there's a rhyme to it. There's a logic to the Ten Commandments. They're absolutely exhilarating to consider and to understand. I want you to consider what we find here revealed to us in 1 John. 1 John, instruction about life. What we're supposed to do as individuals. It says that the love of God, notice this, this is over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Let this resonate with you. Let it sink in, brethren. Those of you who are viewing the program, those of you who are believers, be challenged by the Scripture. You go out and you fulfill the law. That's right, fill it to the full. You can't do it perfectly, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather you fill it up three quarters rather than just a quarter. Get as much of it underneath your conscience so that you're motivated out of love to obey God and your neighbor as you can, and let Christ make the difference. This we know, that we love, this is in verse 2 of 1 John 5, we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, they are not burdensome. In fact, they open up the way of liberty because now I have defined for me and you exactly what I am permitted to do. I don't have to ask unnecessary questions. I don't have to succumb to intellectual gibberish. I can respond to the Word of God. And I challenge you today to do the very thing that I've just said. Be challenged by the commandments. You start keeping those commandments. You'll see a difference in your community, in your marriage, with your children, in society in general. Do it. Go out and if you will enter into life, you will keep the commandments. Well, we must stop for now. Please stay with us. We have some announcements that are very, very important, telling you where to get the booklets and the tapes. And we certainly invite you to take down those numbers and call that toll-free number as well. We want to invite you once again to come back next week. Spend some time with us and us with you as we enjoy studying the Bible on the Armor of God telecast.
You know, on today's program, Charles was emphatic. We have a responsibility to God, to show God that we love Him, to illustrate how we love Him. The law, as Charles portrayed, was given to all of us to be a guideline of what God defines for us as what He expects from us. And it's almost paradoxical in today's day and age because, quite frankly, you see so many people today that are, you know, opining and fighting over the fact that, well, we can't display the Ten Commandments in our schools or no longer on our public governmental buildings, but yet in our churches, and somebody help me through this, in our churches today, we still teach that the law was nailed to the cross of all things. That's right. It's very, very sad in light of what Jesus said in that He, Matthew 5, you know, there where He says came to fulfill the law. And then yet by the same token, when the young rich man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? What did Jesus tell him? Jesus told him, obey the Ten Commandments. Even the Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Ephesus, writes here to those folks there in Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. There's no question, my friends. Salvation is a gift, and it is by grace. It's not by works, but that doesn't dismiss the obligation that, as Paul points out down here, as you go down through here and read in verse 8, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, my friends, Paul knew that there is an expectation of good works. Let us help you to understand the relationship between these two things, grace and works. Won't you dial right now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the free tape, and I emphasize free, The Trail of Sin. That's right, The Trail of Sin and the booklet, Was Moses the Lawgiver? Both are designed to help you to better understand the relationship between this grace and law issue. My friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in the evil day.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.